I'm joined on the telephone now by Renee Fisher, Joyce Kramer, and Jean Palin. They are the authors of Saving the Best for Last, Creating Our Lives After 50. Welcome, you three.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for being here with me today. Well, I was very interested in reading this book, partly because I'm getting real close to that age, and wanted to know, how did you get the idea to write this book?
Well, it grew out of meetings that we would have, you know, lunches, coffees, etc., where we would just sit and almost cry over all the things that were happening to our bodies, except we would always end up laughing because they were so absurd and so ridiculous, the things that were happening that we didn't know about beforehand, that we just decided that we ought to write a book about this and really alert all women across the country to what happens when you turn 50. That was our initial reason for writing.
Mm-hmm.
It changed, though.
Right, and this is not your first book. Talk a little bit about the first book that you wrote.
Well, the first book, as Jean said, we decided to warn people about what to expect. And we decided on 13 topics that we thought women approaching 50 or in their 50s would be interested in, and certainly things that we have experience in. But as we started writing, our whole purpose shifted somewhat. Not totally, of course we want to warn people, but we decided that this is the best time of our lives, and we wanted to change the conversation in the country about aging, that this is a great time to look forward to. We wanted to inspire women to look forward to this time instead of dreading it.
Well, and I think you've done that. I really enjoyed reading the book and was really struck by the openness and the personal nature of the topics that you wrote about. Tell us a little bit about how you chose the different topics that you discussed.
It's actually funny because our first title was going to be The Secret Sex Lives of Women Over 50. And then we thought, the purpose is to write a book, not a pamphlet, you know, so we've got to regroup here. But what we did was we started with a bunch of topics that we thought would resonate with women over the age of 50. And we tried to sort of pick them from a broad group of topics so that some of them could be a little bit more lighthearted, some of them would be very serious. And then with the second book, there were, as we did the presentations, women would ask us, well, why didn't you talk about this? Why didn't you talk about that? So we added new topics to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we could probably go on forever adding new topics, you know, every day. But this is what we have now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the intriguing things about this book that I believe is different from your first book is that you have exercises at the end of this each chapter, and it's more of an interactive book. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. This was a great, but we're very excited about this interactive feature in this book. Before, when we were talking, whether it was a chapter on sex, whether it was a chapter on losing our mothers, on breast cancer, on memories lost and found, no matter what it was, we were telling our stories. In this new book, what we realized was that it had been such a wonderful experience writing and thinking about these aspects of our lives that we wanted to give readers the opportunity to do the same thing, to go through the same process we had been through. So after every chapter, we ask discussion, we offer discussion questions and individual exercises or group exercises for book clubs on the topic of the chapter. And then at the end of the chapter, we give an assignment, which is become the fourth writer of the book and write your own chapter on that topic. And this, in theory, at least, if someone goes through reading the book and writing her own chapters, by the end, she'll have her own book.
Mm-hmm.
We were very challenged when we were writing, to be honest. When we initially decided the format for the book, since we all were clear that we were not people to give advice to other women, all we could do was tell our stories and let readers take from the stories, you know, whatever they get from them. We each tell our individual stories. So And we all have different points of view and different experiences. So the richness, I think, of this book is that, you know, we have varied experiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, in reading the book and reading the exercises, I found them to be really insightful and pretty challenging. And I'm wondering, how did you develop those? Are those some of the same questions you asked yourselves when you were writing this?
Some of them did come out of the questions that we asked ourselves. Some of them were questions.
In not such an organized manner, of course. But
right. Yeah. Nothing like that. I think some of them are probably questions we wish we had asked ourselves when we were writing the book.
Right.
And that would have sort of like saved us a lot of time and frustration. And other things we've developed, actually three of us were lucky enough to have been in the same workshop many years ago together. And some of them were inspired by the kinds of things that came out of the workshop.
Is that how the three of you met?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were the oldest women in the workshop, so we decided we better become friends.
So you talk about women examining their lives and going through these exercises and writing their own chapter. What do you hope women take away from reading and interacting with your book?
I hope that they take away the power of being honest, of being authentic, of unloading all the secrets that we've carried around for years, or talking about things that we were afraid to talk about. It's a very freeing experience to open up and tell our stories in a very authentic way.
And I hope women will walk away from it with the realization that at age 50, you have real choices. The ones we thought we had at 20, what we're going to do with our lives, a lot of the stuff we did was pretty much sort of written for us. Get married, have babies, raise them, all that kind of stuff. Now at 50, we've done everything we needed to do as women, or sort of society expected, and we're totally free to create the life we want to create, whether that be living on top of a mountain, knitting for our grandchildren, or saving a village. It's up to us now, and that's a wonderful freedom.
And I hope women are able to see that we are not superstars. We are real people. We are real people just like they are. We're real people who've made choices. Mm-hmm. And they can make choices.
Well, that's one of the things I got out of it, was just you were very candid in this book. And one of the chapters that really struck me was the one called Rational Women Repeating Irrational Patterns.
Yeah.
That's my favorite chapter in the book.
Is it? Could you talk a little bit about that and how that came to be? And I just thought the whole book was very candid, but that chapter especially struck me as, wow, you know, you really took out some tough things and examined them.
Yeah. I would love Joyce to take that one. I only want to say that I think that topic, that those words, rational women making irrational choices or being
or
in irrational patterns, sort of defines a lot of women.
Yeah, that chapter seems to really resonate with women everywhere, no matter what age they are, because we have patterns. A lot of us operate from patterns that we don't even see. And I talk about one of the most common ones, I think, is if I love him enough, he'll change. And I got to see once again that absolutely does not work, you know, that I get to make choices for myself based on what I want and not what I want someone else to do for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's very, what Joyce said is right on target. It's sometimes so hard to see that those patterns are within you, and because some of them, they've been put there within us from the time we were little children. Mm-hmm. The idea of, and we never bash men in this book. We love men. But what does happen with us as girls is we get taught to please others, to care for others. And for me, the irrational patterns that I kept repeating were shaping myself to fit the other person I was involved with.
Mm-hmm.
So taking up his interests, his goals, and giving up my own. And that's one of those, it doesn't matter how smart you are, it doesn't matter how enlightened you are, it's within us. Mm-hmm. And we get to see it and hope that the next time we'll recognize it maybe sooner.
I'd like to just reintroduce you for people who might be joining us at the middle of this interview. I'm speaking with Renee Fisher, Joyce Kramer, and Jean Palin. They're the authors of a book, Saving the Best for Last, Creating Our Lives After 50. Very interesting, interactive book about women 50 and over and how it's really the best time of life. Can I ask you each which was the hardest thing for each of you to write about? Because there were a lot of heart-wrenching, sensitive topics in this book.
Go, Renee.
Yeah, I guess the chapter that was the most difficult for me to write was the one where I talked about my infidelity mm-hmm. in my marriage. And what was difficult was not so much talking about it. I don't think I ever used the word. It was because I have three children. And I was very aware that I didn't want to do anything that would hurt them. Mm-hmm. Or reflect poorly in any way on, you know, how they saw their dad, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I had to sort of soft pedal it a little bit. Mm-hmm. That was very difficult for me. In general, I think it's what Joyce said in the beginning. Being honest about everything was absolutely gut-wrenching at times.
I can imagine.
There were simply things that I didn't feel like saying. I didn't want to say, and I forced myself to do it.
Mm-hmm. Joyce and Jean, how about you?
For me, I think the most difficult revelation for me in the book was admitting that I have a problem with gambling. And although there are a lot of other sensitive topics that I talk about, such as incest, I had put those issues, I feel like I've put those behind me. It was difficult to explain things, but I could write about them fairly easily. But admitting that I have a problem is always hard for me. Because I want to act like I'm together and, you know, I'm just, you know, I don't have any of these issues. Mm-hmm. But I do. It's a constant challenge.
We're beginning to sound like disabled women here. So I want to say, other than the fact that I had to admit having a butterfly tattoo on my right breast, other than that, it was the chapter on sex that drove me into therapy, and that's all I'm saying.
But we are ordinary women.
Well, and that leads me to my next question. One of the reasons that I, when this book came across my email and I thought, now that sounds interesting because I am 49 and I'm going to be facing
right.
this soon. And it was very interesting. But what do you wish you knew in your 30s or 40s that you know now?
Oh, ooh, I know.
Go ahead. For me, what I wish I knew that I know now is that I am responsible for my life. 100% completely, that there's nobody to blame. There's nobody else who did anything to me, or they may have done things to me, but how I am, how I react to them, and how I act in the future is 100% up to me. And I wish I had known that when I was in my 30s.
And I totally agree with Jean. I think all three of us certainly agree on that we are responsible for our lives. I wish I had understood living from vision, that I can have a vision and I can create it out of nothing, mm-hmm. out of nothing. And I can take risks. I wish I had done that when I was 30.
Okay.
Yeah, and for me it was, you know, those two things plus, I really thought when I was 30 and 40 that I had the answers. That not only did I have the answers, but I knew how everything was supposed to be, which is a great way of being until something goes wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're sort of left out there. And now what I get is that everything really is a process. And it's living in the gap, living in that space between where you are, taking that leap, you know, with nothing to guide you other than the sight of where you want to be. It's like what Joyce said, living in your vision.
Well, that's a great note to wind up on. Before we go, I want you to talk about a little bit about your website that people can visit to learn more about this and your other book, and also what's next for you guys as writers.
InvisibleNoMore.com is our website. That was the name of our first book, and it's, we hold on to that as the vision, InvisibleNoMore.com. People can find out on there where we'll be speaking. We're doing a lot of speaking. We're doing a lot of workshops on writing your life. That's our sort of newest venture, to work with others who want to write their lives. And other than that, we're going to be on Oprah and Get Rich and Famous.
Sounds good. Anything else?
Gee, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, really.
It's another excuse to buy a new outfit, you know?
Well, I want to thank the three of you so much for your time and for your wonderful book. It was very inspirational. It made me think a lot, and I hope folks will want to pick it up. It's called.
Hey, I have a question. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So now, are you looking forward to 50?
You know, well, sure. What's the alternative? I don't know. I mean, yes. I mean, I am. It's.
I hope you grab it and get excited about it and really, you know, go forward.
Well,
everyone
I will, because I've liked my 40s a lot better than my 30s, so I'm figuring it's
that's great.
Better
yeah.
every decade.
It's all on the way up.
You can go with resignation, or you can choose.
Right.
Yep. So it's pretty exciting.
That's great. Well, thank you so much,
thank you for talking with me,
and good luck in your ventures.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Renee Fisher, Joyce Kramer, and Jean Palin. They're the authors of Saving the Best for Last, Creating Our Lives After 50. Their website is InvisibleNoMore.com.